in their own wisdom that we want to talk about, helping people to walk in their own wisdom. And there's some reasons the Bible teaches us to do that, and spend a little time on that tonight. Proverbs chapter 20, in verse 1, wine is a mocker. Strong drink is raging, and whosoever is deceived thereby is not wise. It's a very clear verse about alcohol, and it's obvious there that you need to stay away from it. The fear of the king is as a roaring of a lion. Whoso provoketh him to anger sinneth against his own soul. I want to preach in that because I have a message rolling around in my mind about government and right thinking on government, but I don't have time tonight. Verse 3, it is an honor for a man to cease from strife, but every fool will be meddling. The sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold, therefore shall he beg and harvest and have nothing. Counsel in the heart of man. The modern interpretation of verse 4 is, a sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold, therefore he will be standing at the intersection and have nothing. Verse 5, counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, but the man of understanding will draw it out. And that's what we want to focus on tonight. Most men will proclaim everyone his own goodness, but a faithful man who can find. Of course, we said Proverbs is not as much context because where you get the context of Proverbs, because it jumps from one subject to another, as you can see right here. Goes through these, there's a whole bunch of its subjects here. It's just giving you Proverbs, statements of wisdom. But we'll talk about a couple of these tonight. Let's go ahead and pray. Lord, I pray you'd help us to understand wisdom and how to draw it out of people and how to help them get their own wisdom. I pray you'd please give us wisdom tonight, and may your Spirit speak to us and help us to be better workmen for your harvest, because we know tonight a little better how to help somebody. And not just throwing a dart and hoping for the best, their eyes closed in a life, but yet walking in with wisdom to help undo the works of the devil and to help people get victory. And Lord, I pray tonight we wouldn't just learn how to see foolishness and how to be wise ourselves, but also how to help somebody else to make wise decisions and to do right things. And we ask for your wisdom now and your power and your blessing upon this time and this service. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, in verse 5, we'll get back to one of the other verses in a second, but it says, counsel in the heart of man is like deep water, but a man of understanding will draw it out. So inside of a man is counsel. Inside of a human being, there's counsel, and that counsel is called deep water. People get themselves in deep water, but that's not what this is saying. It says it's way down inside of them. Somebody who has understanding, and this is very much, and I want you to have this, I'm going to go along with our theme next year that we'll get into and we'll tell you about a little more, but I want you to be of an understanding heart enough to be able to use this verse, because a person who has wisdom, and it's not the average person, it's not the average Christian, it's people who really have wisdom, they have the ability to reach way down inside of somebody and pull the wisdom out of them that's within them, and help them with their own wisdom. There's a reason that God has you do that, and we'll get to that a little bit later. But I want you to learn to help people with their own wisdom and how to get them. We've talked a little bit about how to get people wise, but I want you to be able to help them with the wisdom they have, because many times even people who aren't super wise people have enough wisdom inside themselves to make decent decisions. They need it drawn out of them, because there's a lot of foolishness stacked on top of that wisdom deep down inside. And the foolishness, usually people reach down and grab the first thing that comes out, and the first thing they grab is their foolishness. And we got to draw out the deep down wisdom, because counsel in the heart of man is like deep water. And even in a wise person, counsel is like deep water, and not all wise people are easy to get counsel out of. See, very foolish people have plenty of advice for you, but really wise people don't always give you advice. Because it's unsought advice, as you've said several times, is often unheeded and usually resented. So they won't always give you advice. after a while, when you try to give a lot of advice out and you realize how few people want your advice and follow it, you say there's better uses of my oxygen coming out of my throat besides words. I'm not going to give advice because I don't think I want my advice. And lectures don't do a lot of good. So we want to learn how to draw out wisdom, both out of wise people and out of foolish people. I want to give you a few points on this. Number one, people almost never walk in good counsel. People almost never walk in good counsel. I want to say this. Though you're a godly person and you try to do good, you get a lot of bad counsel. The Bible says, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly. Well, the problem is if you listen to the radio, watch TV, read the internet, hang around people at work who talk, if you're just in this culture, you're going to get very bad counsel all the time. You're not walking up and asking advice of the people at work and saying, can you give me advice? But what happens is they're talking at lunch about how they deal with relationships, and you're in the break room with them, and you hear them talking. And you're hearing bad counsel all the time. And eventually your mind gets molded into a bad way of thinking. Even though you're not trying to, you just hear bad things. If you hear enough people cussing, it's an amazing thing. When I was working at the trucking company here, a lot of the guys who weren't Christians had very foul mouths. And where I had been working at a job where I was more secluded back in Indiana, and I wasn't around the foul-mouthed guys all the time, and I got amazed how I never cussed, but how the words were close by. They come to your mind. You just hear stuff all the time. It molds your mind. It makes you think a certain way. And you hear enough stuff, and you read enough stuff, and you get enough stuff, you begin to have your thinking molded, and you're walking in the counsel of the ungodly. And the thing is, it's hard not to in our culture. You're not on the farm going alone in the farm planting your crops. The only people you're around is your neighbor once in a long while and your family, and then everybody at church on Sunday. That's not what we're walking in. We're in an information highway with billboards and noise and radios, and if your radio's down, the guy next to you is playing his music, and it's not always Amazing Grace. And you're hearing counsel from music and counsel from everything, and it blares out at you, and people talking next to you in the checkout line. And you're in the checkout line, and there's a bunch of counsel about life from a bunch of magazines everywhere, and it's everywhere. And so you get a lot of that counsel. Most of us try not to, but a lot of people in the world, they've had bad counsel all their life. I had all bad counsel for 16 years, worldly thinking, and so it gets in your mind. And if you're 30 or 40 or 50, you've got a lot, and you haven't been serving God that whole time, you've got a lot of bad counsel that's been given to you your entire life, and so that is there. Almost all of us walk in the counsel of the ungodly, because it's everywhere in our culture. One of the biggest things we need to do is to change and help. If you want to help somebody, one of the things you're going to have to do is get them in better counsel. So they might have, you might not be able to change a counsel at home. They're going to have bad, if they're dating or married or engaged or living with somebody who is not godly, you know what? You don't say, well, go divorce her because she's ungodly. No, they need to stay with her. But at the same time, they're going to be around ungodly people. So you have got to go and help somebody to get around godly counsel, because counsel in life is not just, and I was looking at the Webster's definition today, it's not just, I want to ask your advice on this thing. It is hearing and learning and taking in approaches to life and answers to questions. And you've got to get them around a good crowd. That's one reason you've got to get a lot of church. So much the more as you see that they approach him, because you've got to start getting your thinking right. Just your thinking on creation of mankind and evolution. You know, everybody in our culture, all they hear is evolution. On the Discovery Channel, on Nova, on everything they hear, at work, in school, everywhere they're hearing evolution, and they need to get a whole bunch of injection of creation. Because you're going to hear that ungodly counsel all the time, and that we're all evolving, and pretty soon we start saying, yeah, as we evolve, and we start using the same worldly phrases because we're just used to it. And you've got to get around when you've been starting serving to God. You understand your crowd has got to change. You've got to begin to get around godly people and hang around some Christians and go to church a lot and call somebody. I called somebody today just who's been struggling, and I mean, I didn't talk to him. I knew I didn't have much time, and I called him and I just said, "Let's check and see if you're doing any better. How you doing?" I didn't talk to him for a minute. But I wanted to pull them out of their worldliness and revelry of the world and the thoughts of the world and all the things of the world. Just pull them out for a second into some godliness and just how are you doing? And just get around them for a minute. And you got to change your crowd, and they've got to change their crowd, because most people don't walk in the council of the godly, and they hear a lot of bad things. They're watching a lot of TV, and they say, well, I don't watch the really bad stuff, but the stuff that's not bad has still got secular thinking. It says that there's godly thinking and secular thinking. Secondly, most people do not seek wise counsel. And let me just show you a few verses in Proverbs about this, but Proverbs 11. So first of all, they're walking in a counsel of the ungodly, and most of us are, whether trying to or not, but people we're trying to help are in a whole bunch of ungodly counsel. Their parents many times are ungodly. Their friends are ungodly. Their neighbors aren't too godly. And people their own household and the stuff they listen to and the books they read and the things around their house and the things on the internet. There's so many ungodly things that they're not in good counsel, so their thinking is not clear. And secondly, that people do not seek wise counsel. It is gone. Counseling is gone. Weird thing is, it's godly counseling's gone, but the psychologist is there in force, so they can tell you which drug they're going to give you. Not so they can fix your problems, by the way. They don't fix your problems anymore. They just medicate you. But godly counseling is gone, though it's so biblical. And God calls people foolish who don't seek counsel. Proverbs chapter 11. In verse 14, where no counsel is, the people fall, but in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. Chapter 12, verse 15, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes. I don't need to seek counsel. I already knew what to do. But he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. Proverbs 15, verse 22, without counsel, purposes are disappointed, but in the multitude of counselors, they are established. So things are disappointed when you don't get counsel. Proverbs 19, I'm not going to read you all the verses about counsel, but it's just since so brief, just make it obvious here that God makes it. Proverbs 19, verse 20, hear counsel and receive instruction, and thou mayest be wise in the latter end. A lot of people don't seek the two ways of counsel, and we're not going to teach in this because we've taught on it very clearly. Counsel of wisdom, which screams in the street. They do not listen to wisdom rebuking them, and they don't get wisdom's counseling because wisdom's telling them all the time, do this and don't do this, but they don't also go seek wise counsel. And so that's going to hurt them because they don't have good counsel. So we got three problems with them not walking in good counsel. They walk in the counsel of ungodly. They don't seek godly counsel and wise counsel. And the third one is they walk in the counsel of their peers. In 1 Kings chapter 12, we see an example of this in the Bible. And there's lots of things we could say about this. But 1 Kings chapter 12, they walk in the counsel of their peers. It sounds like not a smart thing to do. When you talk about it, it won't seem a smart thing to do. But when I talk about how people do it, you'll say, yeah, everybody does that. People walk in the counsel of their peers. It's a crazy thing that our culture has decided to go towards. In this situation, Rehoboam and Jeroboam, Rehoboam starts out and he's Solomon's son and he's king. And he says, how should I lead these people? Solomon's been taking money out of these people like crazy. He's been taxing them like crazy and making them work hard to build a temple and build this nation so it's so amazing and powerful. Now, what should I do? Should I be nicer or meaner to him? What should I do? And he goes and he talks to his dad, which the people, his dad, he was the wisest man who ever lived, and his the people who watched everything his dad did, he went to them for counsel, and they gave him counsel and said, you know what, these people need a break, go ahead and be nice to them, and they'll follow you and be a blessing to you. And then he goes to his peers and said, what do you guys think I should do? And in that story here, verse 6, King Rehoboam consulted with the old men that stood before Solomon his father while he yet lived, and said, how do you advise that I may answer the people? And they spake unto him, saying, if thou wilt be a servant unto this people this day, and will serve them and answer them, and speak good words to them, then they will be thy servants forever. But he forsook the counsel of the old men, which they had given him, and consulted with the young men. Now watch out, God adds this very carefully. That were grown up with him, and which stood before him. And he said unto them, what counsel do give ye that we may answer this people who have spoken a thing, saying, make our yoke which my father did put on us lighter? And the young men that are grown up with him spake unto him, saying, thus shalt thou speak unto this people, and speak unto thee, saying, thy father made our yoke heavy, But make thou it lighter unto us. Thus shall I say unto them, my little finger shall be thicker than my father's loins. My dad was heavy. My pinky is going to be heavier than my father's thighs and loins. And now, whereas my father did laid you with a heavy yoke, I will add to your yoke. And my father hath chastised you with whips, I will chastise you with scorpions. Great idea. I'm going to tell you, I'm going to whip you with scorpions and make you miserable. I'm going to be so hard on you, and I want you to follow me. And what did he do? My peers, those guys, they understand. They're smart. They know what they're talking about, not those old men. Those old men don't understand anything. I'm doing this young men say, and the nation went rip right in half. I just talked to you for a sec about this. This is really, really, really important. People like counsel from their peers, and our culture has told you need counsel from your peers. Peers are not just your age group, although that is a peer. But you know, somebody could be 24 and be 12, and somebody could be 24 and be 40. Your peer is not just your age group, but everybody thinks, you know what? I need somebody to talk to who can relate to me. You know, you don't always need to talk to somebody who can relate to your situation. Everyone wants to be related to. Do you want wise counsel or do you want to be related to? That's two different things. Guy has a failing business and he's falling apart and he's going bankrupt. He doesn't have any money. He's getting kicked out of his building. The government's trying to shut him down to collect the taxes. His buildings are getting cars are getting repossessed for his business, and everything's falling apart, and he doesn't know how he's going to make the next paycheck. And he goes and he says, I got to pick a financial advisor. And he calls around and talks to one guy, and the guy says, oh man, he says, I'm the guy you need to talk to. He says, I just got kicked out of my office. He says, I am so broke. He says, I don't have any money. He says, everything's falling apart. I don't got any money at all. Guy says, you're the guy I need to talk to. You understand me. Is that the guy I need to talk to? But that's what everybody in our culture does. Did you know the people who mess up their family? They'll say, man, that kid's a brat. My kid's getting so rebellious and so terrible. John, you know what? Your kid's in jail, isn't he? Didn't he? Like, you guys got in a big fight and you threw him out of the house, threw all the stuff outside and did everything. You know what it's like to have a bad kid? What would you do? Isn't that what everybody does? I have a real serious drug problem. You know what? You should go talk to the pastor. Oh, you know what? He won't understand. He doesn't have a drug problem. I got some friends who have real drug problems. I'm going to talk to them. It is the stupidest thing in the world. You know teenagers go to it for advice? Teenagers. My parents don't know how to treat me, man. They treat me all wrong. They're rotten, evil, and that. What do you think you should do? Your parents hate you too, don't they? Oh, I'll tell you what to do. Man, you go out and torch your house tonight. I'll tell you what. Good advice. Did you know nobody wants it? Guy goes down, sitting there at the bar with his buddy. His wife kicked him out of the house for the night, sitting there getting drunk. Got a black eye from a rolling pin. Man, my wife's so mad at me. She don't ever want to talk to me again. She hates my guts. She's calling a divorce lawyer and whacking him upside the head. Man, maybe you should go stay with your dad. You should talk to your dad about this marriage thing. Oh, my dad, he's never had marriage problems. He'd never understand. I can't talk to him about it. Maybe because he hasn't had marriage problems, maybe he's just the guy to talk to. Maybe he knows, but you've been divorced 3 times, man. You understand. What do you think I should do? Well, oh man, I'm an expert on it. I can tell you how to go from this first divorce and get 2 more afterwards. Everyone wants to talk to their peers because their peers understand. They don't want counseling with someone to say, I understand. You know what? If your business is falling apart and you don't have any money and you're about to get evicted from your house, or your marriage is falling apart, or your finances are falling apart, or you're a drug addict and somebody understands, guess what? You go to your bank and you say, guess what? I found somebody who understands. Okay, we need to repossess your building. I have somebody who understands me. And I told them all about it, and they understood. And they said, it's really mean of you to take away my business. And you took away their business too. Understanding doesn't change anything. Okay, they understand. And you went and found your buddy, and they said, yeah, that's wrong. Man, your parents are so bad. Yeah, that's right. Okay, and he's a high school dropout, and he's a loser, and you can go stand next to him in the street and go, need beer money. Well, I won't lie. Man, you understand me. Great. Are you trying to find someone to relate to you, or are you trying to find someone who knows what they're doing? He goes, hey, guys, what do you think I should do? I think you should just go. How many nations have you run? None, but I got some good ideas. It's like somebody going, you know what? My team is losing every game. Let me go find the coach who's lost every game so he can help me understand this and what to do. He's losing every game. He's just like you. Maybe you go to the guy who's winning every game and say, hey, maybe I'm doing something wrong here. Do not seek counsel of your peers. Let's be logical here. If they're your peers, they probably know about as much as you. And if you're not doing good, maybe you need to find someone who's doing good. It is the craziest, most insane thing that people constantly say, I need someone to understand. Okay? And then after you find someone to understand, why don't you find someone to get counsel from? What do you mean? Because someone understanding is not going to help you. It makes you feel good. If someone understands. Okay. Find someone else who's a drug addict. Tell them, I got this drug problem, and I feel terrible, and I'm doing this, and this, and this, and this. Oh, man, that's terrible. I know what that's like. I'm in the same situation. Oh, good. You understand. Now, I'm going to go get some counsel of what to do from somebody who's not a drug addict and somebody who has their life together. I'm going to someone now who has their marriage together. Everyone wants to seek. I know Bible college. Now, Bible college, they hire... The pastor has a whole bunch of friends in ministry, and every time one of them fails in the ministry, he says, you know what? Why don't you come back to college and work at the college, at the Bible college? And his Bible college is full of people who have failed in ministry, going teaching preachers how to go succeed in the ministry. That's a good idea. That's not what you need. You don't need to get advice from people who are failures. How many girls who have a bad relationship with their boyfriend and he's the father of the kids, how many of them go to other women just like them and don't go to the godly lady at church and say, you know what? What should I do in this situation? You have a happy marriage. What should I do? Nobody does that. Everybody goes and says, yeah, hey man, your boyfriend beat you too, didn't he? What do you think I should do? She's got another black guy now. It's not the way to live to seek counsel of your peers. Jeroboam was stupid about that. So people don't understand walking in counsel. They don't have good counsel. And they've gathered bad counsel. And they go to bad counselors. And so therefore, we've got to realize that they're not going to make right decisions many times on their own because they've had bad counsel their whole life. They might be smart, but still have bad counsel. Number two, because of this bad thinking, they need counsel even more. Because they've gotten so much bad counsel in their life and their thinking's not right, and they might have been brought in, and it might be totally innocent. They might have grown up in a bad home and their parents didn't teach them. They didn't go to church when they were young, or they went to a bad church. They had bad church experience. All this stuff means they need more advice more than ever, yet they don't have the wisdom to even know that. And they need more wise counsel than anybody else. So we've got to make sure that we get them around wise counsel by, first of all, letting them hang around people who are wise. He that walketh with wise men shall be wise. Who you hang around makes you a whole bunch smarter, whether they teach you anything or not. You hang around intelligent people and people who make good decisions, you begin to see the stupidity of your bad decisions. And it works tremendously. It happens by osmosis. It happens by hanging around them. Number three, learn that some people don't really want counsel, even though they may act like it. Let's go to the book of Proverbs. Learn that some people may not want counsel, even though they act like it. If you've been around the block spiritually or counseling in life, or you've got a few decades under your belt, you'll think of somebody when this comes. Because some people come to you and say, I need your advice. This and this and this and this happens. And they don't want your advice. They just want to talk. It feels good for their head to open and let oxygen out. It strums a certain way along the vocal cords, and it feels good to them. But they don't really want your counsel. And in Proverbs 18, In verse 2, Proverbs 18, in verse 2, a fool hath no delight in understanding, but that his heart may discover itself. This is so true right now. So many people walk around and they want to talk about themselves and they pretend like that's getting advice from you. But they will not do anything that's advice to them. They just want to know about themselves. That is why, no matter how kooky and unsuccessful the whole psychological and the psychiatry whole field right now, no matter how incompetent they are, and they are more competent, trust me, they were 10 times more competent 20 years ago. They are completely incompetent right now. And by the way, I have been, in the last 2 or 3 years, I've just heard droves of people who thought 5 years ago they had the answer just come in and saying, these people are incompetent. I know more than they do. They don't know what they're doing. It's happening everywhere right now. All they're doing is drugging me up, and they don't have any answers to me. The reason everybody's going to them is because what they're doing is those people who don't want answers but want to discover themselves, they say, you are this label. They say, oh, now I understand why I'm like this, and this is the way I am. And that makes them feel so good because now they aren't over-emotional. They're bipolar. No longer are they shy. They are social anxiety disorder. No longer are they emotional, but they're manic this or manic that. No longer are they this. Now I've got a label for myself. No longer am I having a hard time dealing with something that happened in the past. Now I'm post-traumatic stress disorder. And now I've got a label, and now I know all about myself, and now I know about myself. And that's why I'm like this, and that's why I'm going to be like this. And you know what? I'm always going to be like this. And you know what? I understand myself now. Okay, you understand yourself. Now, would you like to fix it? Well, I understand myself now. I understand why I'm like this now. I understand that's why I can't have a happy marriage. That's why I can't be happy. That's why I'm like... And that's all you wanted, was somebody to give you a label? I'll give you a label. Dodo. Why do you want to stay there? Everyone wants to understand themselves. I understand myself. Do you ever look at yourself? You ever look at yourself and say, you ever talk to yourself and say, you're so stupid sometimes? You ever do that? You ever tell yourself how dumb you are? Okay, fix it. It's like guy saying, you know what? I need to go to a mechanic. I need you to tell me what's wrong with my car. Your alternator's out. Ah, thank you. Ah, you told me what's wrong. Yes, thank you. See you later. You want to fix your car? Oh, I just want to know what's wrong with it. I have a bad... Dad, guess what? I've been diagnosed. My car has a bad alternator. Yes! I'm going to find a group of people who have bad alternators, and we're going to meet once a week, and I'm going to talk to them. And we're going to sit down and share what it's like to have a bad alternator every week, and we're going to feel really good about ourselves and have a bad alternator stress disorder club, and we'll feel really, really good about ourselves because we know what's wrong with us now. And you know what? I have got a bad alternator. Don't tell me I shouldn't drive somewhere. I have post-bad alternator stress disorder, and I can't get there. Would you like to fix your alternator? You don't understand. Your alternator is not bad, and you can't help me. The people who have bad alternators, they understand me, and they can help me. Your cars are all broke down, and none of them are running. You just don't understand. We have bad alternators. And you just don't have a bad alternator. And you never suffered from post-traumatic alternator stress disorder, and you don't understand. Okay, you have a bad alternator. I've had bad alternators too, and I fixed them. I'm going to go to some people who don't know how to fix alternators because they'll understand what it's like. I'm going to go to a mechanic and they'll tell me how to fix it. See, we live in this day where we go and people don't really want advice. Oh, that's my problem. Now I understand why I'm going to be like this the rest of my life. Your problem is you keep dating bad guys. It's a bad decision-making process. You're not following God's principles on how to date and who to find and whether you should date and all the other different things. You keep overspending your money. What's my real problem is the banks give me too much credit. No, your real problem is you spend money you don't have. And everyone, so many people will act like they want counsel, and they come to you and say, I got terrible financial problems. And you know, most problems in life aren't that complicated. It's like, you know, my girlfriend, you know what? She went and committed adultery, and she's going messing around with the other men. She's been doing this for years. What do you think I had to do? Break up with her. Well, it's not that simple. I mean, we've been together for years, and where am I going to live? Break up with her. Everyone talks about, they don't want advice. They want you to go and say, oh, you poor thing. Man, it must be terrible to have a woman beat you up. That's embarrassing. And, okay, she's beating you up again? Oh, that's the third time you called me. I told you to break up with her. Well, you know what? It's really tough to break up with her. What do you think I should do? Break up with her. You do this with people? They come to the same problem again and say, and here's the worst thing. They come back and they said, I did what you said, and she still beat me up. Oh, you broke up with her? No, but you know, we talked, you know, and I went back and told her, you know what, I had to break up with you. And she still beat me up. Your advice doesn't work. They don't want counsel. They just want to understand themselves. A fool has no delight in understanding that his heart may discover itself. Many times people want to just, people to just realize, and this is one thing when you listen to people just want you to realize they have a big problem. And they'll just tell you their problem over and over. And you're saying, I know we talked about this. This is the same play, different actor. And so somebody comes and they want to tell you all about their problem, and then you don't and you don't say a word because you know the fool, and they get done, they say, thank you. You didn't say a word. I was just really, oh man, wow, oh man, that's something. And they leave and say, man, you've helped me so much, thank you. You didn't tell them anything to do. But they wanted somebody to listen to them, they wanted to understand, and somebody to understand. Not everybody wants counsel. A fool hath no delight in understanding, but that his heart may discover itself. Bad financial decisions. Do you really want to change your finances? Here's how to do it. What? I just want you to get me out of this thing. Okay, first thing you do, give me your credit card. Let's cut it up right now. Whoa. No. I want you to understand I have a financial problem, and it's really bad. Okay. How much is on the credit card? $8,000. Okay, let's cut the credit card up so you don't get any bigger. No, that's not the problem. I mean, you got to understand how big this problem is. Okay, I understand. And the next thing we need to do after this is this. Look at Proverbs chapter 20 where we started here. You'll find out if somebody is foolish and just wants to be heard, or if they want to really get counsel and fix things by excuses. Proverbs chapter 20, and back to this verse you read earlier, verse 4, the sluggard will not plow by reason of the cold. Therefore shall he beg and have nothing. It's hard to plow. It's cold out there. And then they come and say, what should I do? I don't have any crops. Well, you should have plowed. Next year, plow a whole bunch. And now you need to go pick something that's in season. It's going to be really hard to do. Well, I mean, what do I do? Next year, plow. Next year comes around. You know what? Early winter, late coming summer, you know what? I can't plow this year. You know what? You need to plow. I can't. A lot of people are plowing right now. Well, those people can, but you know what? That's because they had a good crop last year, and they're lucky. And they have money to plow this year, and their horses are healthy. My horse is starving to death, and I can't plow this year. You're going to make an excuse for this year not plowing too? Because if they don't want advice, what do you want me to do? I think you should go plow right now. But it's cold. Okay, plow in the cold. No, I can't do that. Then you know they just want somebody to hear, but they don't really want advice. There's a big difference in life. Proverbs chapter 22, they make excuses. Proverbs 22. Verse 13, the slothful man saith there is a lion without. I should be slain in the streets. I can't go out and do anything. There's lions out there. I'm going to stay at home where it's nice and safe. You know the excuse makers. You hear them all the time, don't you? You give someone a simple job. Oh, it's too hard. I can't do it. No matter what job you give them, it's too hard. They can't do it. And that's because of the excuses. And they don't really want help. walks for excuses, then you know that they just want to be heard. When they say, what do you think I should do? You know when you give them answers and they make excuses why none of your answers are anything they can do. Then you know that they just want to understand themselves. They do not want your counsel. Next, and just draw this all back to the fourth point here. It is usually inside a person what to do, and wise friends will pull that out. A couple things here. First of all, they think that the most contemporary thing's the new wisest thing, and who they hung around are the smartest people because they're like them and they understand it, because every man will proclaim his own goodness, and because I'm real smart and have a good head on my shoulders. And so, because the pride of man, you come and say, you know what? What example can I use? There's so many examples. Your finances are just a disaster. They do not want to admit that they've been foolish with their money. Not everybody, but let's take some of these people. And so in order to fix the problem where you say, you know what, you have got to do this and this and quit doing this because it's very wrong and very foolish, their pride is so big and they walked in wrong counsel so long, they'll think, you know what, you just don't understand me and my situation. And they won't want to do that. But inside of them and inside of the human creature that God made, the Bible talks about in Romans 1 that God puts his knowledge into all creatures and he puts a conscience into mankind. And you know what? Inside of them is usually a little bit of common sense. But it's not always right on top. A whole bunch of foolishness has been stacked on top of it from the world. And if you go up and say, you know what? You should burn those credit cards and you should go and take that car back, and you should go do this and this and this, and you give them all the advice they should give, and you need to work more overtime, and you need to go find a better, whatever you want, whatever the advice is, the wise advice you give them. If you tell them that, their pride says, I am not stupid. You're no smarter than me, and I didn't make a foolish decision. I've just had bad circumstances. I want you to tell me that it's okay, and maybe give me some money and get me out of this thing, or at the very most, just feel bad for me, and tell me a really quick way to get out of this without having to work real hard. And when you tell them the right advice, their pride steps in the way. But if they came up with the same idea that you want to say, but they come up with it, they figured out their problem. Hope we just followed that there. If they figured it out and it's their solution, they don't mind telling themselves they're stupid. But if you tell them they're stupid, they get very offended. Don't ask me why that is. If I'm stupid, it doesn't matter if somebody tells me or I realize myself, I'm still stupid. Okay, it doesn't matter who tells me. But what you're going to do is you're going to draw from them because they know they have overspent on their credit cards. Using this as our example, they know that this is a bad guy and they shouldn't be dating them. But in our minds, we want to justify what we do and feel good about what we do and proclaim every man his own goodness. And our pride is there. So we want to go and so they know that. They know it, but they come and say, you know what? This lady I'm with, she's done this and this and this. And what they're saying is, I've really been foolish here. But I don't want to say that. This is what she's done, and I'm really in a bad situation. What do you think I should do? But don't make me feel bad about myself, because you know what? I'm kind of embarrassed. That's kind of dumb. So what you want to do is have them many times reach inside themselves and say, you know what you're doing. That's what a wise person does. If I ask you today, just asking you people, the wise people of a midweek service in Open Door, I said, what's your biggest failure in your life? How many of you know the biggest failure in your life? You could raise your hand and say, I know my biggest failure right here. Raise your hand up. Okay? If you don't raise your hand up, you're in trouble, by the way. I'm serious about that. If you don't know your biggest problem and your biggest danger, you're in big trouble. And how many of you, and I'm not going to have you raise your hand in this, but if I said, how many of you know right now the solution to that problem? About a third of you would go, And then if I said, because you haven't fixed it yet, if you haven't, and then I said, if the wisest person in the world is standing in front of you right now, and they said, let me tell you what to do, what do you think they'd say? How many of you know what they would say? You know what they would say. Because the wisdom is inside of you, but you know what? The thing you have to do to fix that problem is really hard. And you say, I don't really know what to do. Because you know how hard it is to really fix that thing. It is not easy. So what do? You can ask them a question just like that. But here's what you do. You know what you do? Man, I'm with this guy, man. He's not the father of my kids, and he beats me, and he's doing drugs, and you know what? He's going to be locked up in 3 weeks there. He's wanted, and da-da-da-da. What should I do? Should I keep dating him? Should I stay with him, or should I marry him? What should I do? What do you think? It's the first thing you ask him. What do you think? And they'll beat around the bush, and usually they'll admit what they should do. If they don't, here's a real good question. What would you tell your daughter to do? What would you tell your son to do? Because you know what? There's a whole bunch of things that people are doing that's really foolish, but they sure don't want their kids to do what they did. What would you do? What would you tell your kids to do? Well, I'd tell them to do this, but you know, then that's probably what you should do. You're going to draw the wisdom out of that, because most people in bit bad. Now, some people don't have the wisdom. You're in a situation, their financial things above their head, or whatever, takes great wisdom. And they need your counsel. But a man in understanding will draw it out of them. And many times we have wisdom inside of us. And by the way, if you're a wise person, you'll go to wise people and draw wisdom out of them. But that's postgraduate stuff that most Christians never even get to. They're lucky if they even ask advice or find the wisdom that's in them. Ask them to advise somebody else in their same position. You know, one of the reasons that's so wise is because you don't know everything about the situation, and many times they're not telling you everything. You ever given advice and then they include an important factor at the end after you gave your advice, and you realize how stupid your advice was? Because they omitted the fact that, oh, by the way, I'm a police officer. I got 3 warrants out for my arrest. Oh, I didn't realize that. Oh, you didn't tell me about that bill. Oh, you didn't tell me. And people don't always tell you everything, and you don't know everything that's happening, but they do. And if people are honest with themselves, and if you can draw it out of them, suddenly they'll come with a brilliant idea. And that's what you want to do, because it's not your idea, and you're not insulting them. A man of understanding draws wisdom out of people. You ever notice how Jesus always answered a question with a question? What do you say? Let me ask you a question. You know the answer. You're just trying to trap me here. You know the answer. So draw wisdom out of them. They need to get wise counsel. You've got to do one of a few things. Get them to walk with wise people. Get them to seek counsel. Or you got to get them to get the counsel out of themselves. But the thing is, they've got to become wise themselves and get counsel themselves. Because without counsel, things are destroyed. So first of all, start with yourself and say, what am I not following in that I know myself as wise counsel? Have I drawn wise counsel out of other people? And have I taken the advice that I know myself I should be doing? And then after that, help people to get wise counsel. If you can get them to get wise counsel and walk around wise people and draw to themselves wise counsel and walk in the Bible and learn the Bible and get around wise people and go get advice from wise people, then you can deliver them. But if they will stay in their own foolish thinking, and you're trying to help somebody out of the world or some Christian who's struggling in the same worldly thinking, they're going to do the same thing, and it's not going to help them. You must get them wise and wise counsel. Let's go ahead and pray together. Father, we thank you for your word today, Lord. Thank you for all the wisdom it has, Lord. And as we kind of went full